Well, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Well, obviously, today is, first of all, obviously, I'm not Pastor Hagin. They're getting some well-deserved rest, hopefully. Hopefully, they're not working. Amen. But you never, you know, the boss does what they want. So if they want to work, they can. But they're away getting some rest. And so it's an honor to stand in this pulpit anytime. I'll just tell you that. And especially an honor to preach the Word of God at Rhema Bible Church. Glory to God. You're my favorite congregation in the world to preach to, I'll say that. Had opportunity to be around, be several places around the world, and what a great time that is. But I'd rather preach right here at Rhema Bible Church than any other place. Amen. Tell your neighbor that's because of you. Amen. Glory to God. And of course, today is Communion Sunday. Amen. And so we want to talk about that. I want to talk about it maybe in a little bit different way today. It's not original way, but just in a way to remind ourselves of what we are here to commemorate, what we are here to remember, and the way in which we do that. You know, here at Rhema Bible Church, every first Sunday morning of the month, we partake of communion or the Lord's table. And you know, some churches, I know some churches' tradition is to do that every Sunday. Some do it, you know, every quarter, just whenever. You know, Jesus said, as often as you do this. So it really didn't put a limit on it whatsoever. But yet in anything, if we're not careful, things become familiar to us. And if we're not careful with that, it's not one of our scriptures today, but I just, as recorded in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus went to his own hometown, and they didn't receive him there. They didn't honor him there because they knew him. They were familiar with him. I mean, some of them grew up with him. You know, I'm not saying Jesus ever got into a heated argument, but I don't know. Maybe they got into it about something, a difference of opinion, ran, fell down. You know, some people don't want Jesus to be a person, but he really was. So chances are, when Jesus was a little boy, he ran, fell down, and skinned his knee. Chances are. All right? I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. I mean, he didn't run around with a halo over his head carrying a lamb. He was real, like you and I. Amen, in that sense. But they knew him. And the familiarity of something caused them to not be able to receive what Jesus had for them that day. Amen. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. The title of today's sermon is Honoring the Lord's Table. Honoring the Lord's Table. In his book, The Table That Speaks, Bringing Communion to Life, Pastor Hagin makes a couple comments. One of them is this: the communion table presents the gospel message. And if you've been here, you've heard him preach that, how the cup represents the blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus for each and every person of the world. How that wafer represents the broken body of Jesus, broken for us, stripes on his back that we might be healed, and everything that has to do with our salvation. He also makes this statement: communion is an invitation from Jesus to know him intimately. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, to remember him, to know him. How many of you have got people that maybe they've gone home to be with the Lord, but you remember them? Why? You knew them. You knew them. Sometimes, you know, it's amazing, even today, because of how God worked in my life and the ministers that he brought into my life. Some of them have gone home to be with the Lord. But there are times, because I listened to them, because I sat under them, because God put me there. There are times that when I'm praying or when I'm meditating on something, I'll hear their voice say something to me. Not them. It's not them. But I'll remember something that they said. You know, the Holy Spirit's the greatest file cabinet that ever was. He can bring things to your remembrance, right? But it's interesting. He'll do it that way. And you can hear those things. Some of you know, some of us with our parents. You know, how many of you, when you became a parent, you all of a sudden started hearing your parent, but it was your voice? Some of those things you didn't know you remembered came out. Glory to God. Amen. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read these verses 23 through 26. I'm going to read this in the King James Version, and then we're going to look at some of the following, some of the other things in some other translations. I always like to, I will say this, when I study the Bible, just, and it doesn't make me, you know, more holy than anyone else, the Bible wasn't written in King James English, I'll tell you that. But I like the King James Bible just as a, as first of all, for me, it's what I got used to, and so I like reading it. I kind of un-King James some of the things. But then I like it as my baseline, my foundation. So if I'm reading another translation, I always like to go back and just kind of compare it to what the King James says. You realize there are modern translations that are not translations. They are paraphrases. In other words, they are the opinion of the author of what should be said. And that's fine, you know, as long as it doesn't change what the Word of God's trying to say. Amen. But reading in chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." We know this. We call this the Last Supper. This is the night of the Passover with his disciples. You can find that in the end of the gospel messages. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Excuse me. "After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" I think recently Pastor Hagin talked about that "till he come" part in one of his messages. But showing forth, so it's a remembrance, it's a memorial. It's also here, notice it's a looking forward, and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. I want to read verses 27 through 30 now in the New Living Translation. He says this here, and this says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. This is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died." Now that's an interesting statement, especially to be found in the New Testament, talking about the subject of judgment. A lot of Christians today don't even want to talk about that word. Yet there is judgment to be done in the New Testament. Mainly we're to judge ourselves. We are to examine ourselves. One of the things the Bible says we're to examine ourselves to see whether or not we be in the faith. Am I making this decision based on my faith, on my unwavering belief, or am I making this decision based on fear and calling it faith? Amen. You know, there's been times I thought I was being led by the Spirit, but actually I was afraid of the consequences, and so I pawned it off on God. Well, I'm being led by the Spirit. I used to joke, you know, somebody said, quoting, you know, about why you didn't do certain things. And I'll just say this, heights are not my favorite thing. I know we've got some folks sitting here in the audience, you've been up in the face shield, not my thing. I'm perfectly happy to stand on the ground and take pictures. I'll wave at you while you're up there. It's just not my thing. Well, now, brother, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Yeah, but keep reading. Power and love and a sound mind. And in my opinion, no one with a sound mind goes up there. That's my opinion. Amen? But are we in the faith? Well, here's another area we are to examine ourselves. Are we honoring the body of the Lord? We're going to go back before verse 23 after a while here and look and see what was happening in Corinth. Now, the Corinthian church was the church of excess. They did everything to the excess. In other words, their motto was, if a little's good, a lot must be a whole lot better. And so they were doing some things, even with the Lord's supper, the Lord's table, that was in excess. And we'll see with that. But notice that he says, he that eats, verse 29 in the Living New Living. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ. Now remember, the body of Christ, sometimes we just center up on the physical body, but where did that blood come from? Did that come out of the body? This is the entire thing, because it's not just eating without honor, it's drinking without honor. It's partaking of the elements without honoring the Lord. Okay? So let's talk about biblically, first of all, here, before we go on. What does it mean to honor from the Word of God? What is the Bible talking about as far as what is honor as spoken of in the Word of God? Now, several different resources here, Strong's Concordance, Thayer's New Testament Words, Brown's Word Studies, W. Vine's Webster's Dictionary, different dictionaries that I've used here. I just didn't come up with these, but don't have time to list them all out. To honor something is to treat it as valuable. Valuable. Are we placing the proper value on the Lord's table today? Are we giving it its place? It is to treat something as precious. Amen. In a good way, not the Lord of the Rings way, but in a good way. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's all right. But something that's precious is valuable. Really, the Bible talks about, it talks about precious things. You would shed your blood for something precious. All right? It's that valuable to you. It means, the word translated in the Old Testament, especially, honor, is also sometimes translated the word glory, and it means to have a weight to it. It's weighty. In other words, it's, those of us who lived during the 60s and the 70s, there was a term that's heavy, man. Any of you remember that? Now, what does that mean? That's serious. It's weighty. It carries weight to it. It's not something that's just light. We'll look at that in a minute. But it's weighty. There's a weight to it. There's an impact to this. It means to appreciate. I like this one especially. To esteem highly. To esteem highly. And then finally, to respect. To respect. With that, you could probably also say to give reverence to. Honoring God is highly connected to and strongly connected. Let me say it that way. Strongly connected to the fear of the Lord. Not being afraid of God, but the fear, the reverence of God. To show respect. Now, throughout the Word of God, you can see those things in different areas. Husbands are told to honor the wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, right? What does that mean? Treat her as valuable, precious. Give her the proper respect. Esteem her very highly. Appreciate. How many of you know what you appreciate grows in value? What you depreciate loses value. Amen. I don't know about you. Maybe it's because I'm a little thicker in the head than you are. But after 36 years, I knew. But after 36 years, I'm getting better at this. Amen? And I have to appreciate my wife, without which I could not probably even get dressed. Now, here's some statements about that. We'll get to dishonor here in a minute. But realize this. I was in looking at this I think it was 2012, getting ready for orientation time, the student revival at Rhema Bible College. I was praying about when he said, I want you to preach on honor. I said, well, that'd be good. I better look in the Bible. What's the Bible say about it? But in studying that out over the years, I've heard this come up on the inside. And it's this, and it comes from what Jesus said about, if you honor me, you honor the Father who sent me. See, in other words, what you honor, you will receive from. What you honor. If you don't honor something, you're not going to receive it. Amen. What you honor from God's word, you will experience. Now, to honor also carries with it that idea to receive. And so, if I don't receive what God's word says about this, I'm not going to receive what God's word says about it. Does that make sense to you? So, what you honor, you will receive from, and what you honor from God's word, you will experience. And then this is the one that really hit home with me. What you honor from God's word by declaring, you will see in manifestation. Now, how many of you know things that are important to you, you talk about? And whatever you talk about, you're giving honor to. I hadn't thought about that. So if you're talking about how hard it is, how hard, oh, this economy, oh, this government, oh, this, that. I thought our needs were met by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not by the government of whatever country we're from. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we can't say that's wrong and this should be right. But what I'm saying is, what are we giving honor to? Always, you know, y'all, you might say that this economy is really horrible, but God, always end and always land on what God's word says about it. And what you declare from God's word, you will see in manifestation. I know as a minister, as a preacher, somebody who stands in the pulpit, that there was here several years ago, it was in the late 90s, was having some meetings in my brother-in-law's church and had family coming to it and that, and we were having, you know, the Spirit of God was moving and different things of that sort. And then in preparing for the service, I heard this come up out of my spirit. You've become ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I said, you know, you almost felt like somebody punched you without knowing, you didn't see it coming, caught you off guard. I felt like I got punched, you know. That was a low blow, God. What do you mean? He said, when's the last time you gave anyone in your service an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues? When was the last time you gave an invitation for that? And I said, Lord, you're right. I can't remember. See, what I'm honoring, I talk about. Now, I would have told you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16, right? I'm not ashamed. But yet, here I was not declaring that God wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. God wants everybody to speak in tongues, to be able to pray in tongues. And so that service, you know, even with family members there, some folks that didn't believe in that, I gave an invitation. Now, I'd like to say they responded. They didn't. Why? They didn't believe in it. But others did. See, what you honor, you'll declare in the midst of unbelief. Honoring God. But what's it mean to dishonor, as spoken of in the Word of God? First of all, it's to treat as common. To treat as common. Oh, it's just communion day. Okay. You know, I hope we don't have that package stuff because, you know, that package, ooh, that tastes horrible, right? You know, we're more worried about how it's going to taste and, you know, what it's going to look like. And, well, I just don't like it. We don't have red grape juice. Amen. If you're from certain churches, you're mad because we don't have wine. Don't look at me like that. You know what I mean. But to treat these elements as common, to treat this time as common, it means to treat as ordinary. This is not an ordinary little cup of juice. This is not an ordinary wafer. We all know that because none of us would buy these just to eat as snacks anyway. But that's not the purpose. See, this isn't ordinary. And wherever you are and you don't have the wafers, we do whatever you've got. Whatever it is, it becomes extraordinary when it represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to think little of. Now, I know that there are people, obviously not you, I'm not preaching to you about this because you're here, but there are people, they don't come on Communion Sunday. Why? Well, my kids have to sit with me. Or this, or whatever reason, it's communion, I'm just not. See, they think very little of this. Now, you can smile because I'm not talking about you, because there you sit. And I'm not talking about you watching. But you understand, that's to treat something as ordinary, as common. It means to disrespect, we talked about that. And here's a word, to despise. To despise. To depreciate. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, please. Eli, prophet of God, and Eli was a descendant. He's a Levite, descendant of the tribe of Levi, the priest that got the priesthood that God set up, who were the descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother. And God had made promises to them concerning the longevity of their time in the priesthood, and that they would, that the promise is if they do what he said, that they would continue to stay in that position, his family. But Eli's sons were rebellious and acted dishonorably concerning the things of God. They treated them with contempt. In fact, they were doing all kinds of things. They were stealing the offerings, the sacrifices, keeping the best part for them and not giving that to the Lord. Okay? But then they were also doing other things that were just, you know, they were having relationships with the women who came to the temple, came to the to worship God, doing all kinds of ungodly things. And Eli did not discipline them. And look what God said to him. We'll read verse 29 and 30. This is the King James Bible. 1 Samuel 2, 29 and 30. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honorest, or you honor thy sons or your sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Now notice God's asking him a question. And what he's telling him is, Eli, you are honoring your sons above me. Now, when it comes to this subject of honor, I'll say this. God is supreme. He is supreme. And in giving honor to others, the ultimate goal is to honor God. Because when I honor you, I'm honoring God who created you. That's why you can't love God, say you love God and don't love the people whom God created. I've mentioned to you that I was sitting here as a Rhema student. It was probably, I don't know when we had Johannine epistles, my first year, second year, but over 40 years ago, sitting in class over here in SCC2, Brother Cooper Beatty, he's gone home to be with the Lord, Machine Gun Beatty, he could talk fast, glory to God. But he was teaching on in Johannine epistles. We got the 1 John chapter 4 there, and it said, how can you say you love God whom you've not seen and you don't love your brother whom you have seen? And he walked over to this side of that platform in that classroom, and I happened to be sitting on towards the end of the row over there. And I don't know why, in my mind right now, it's almost like he looked right at me. I know he didn't. He was probably looking at John and Laura Madden because they were sitting right next to me. That's probably who he was talking to. I'm joking. If you know, maybe, maybe not. Anyway, he said, that's why our love for God can only rise as high as the person we love the least. And I'll never forget that and never forget him standing there doing that. And that stuck with me over these years. And I haven't been perfect at it, but I always come back to that. When I'm looking at myself and watching my love walk, am I loving people the way God loves them? Especially when I'm driving. It's my greatest challenge. That and watching the news. I quit watching news, but I can't quit driving, so I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But he said, you've honored your children above me. Now look at verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. That's what God's promise was. How many of you are glad that the Word of God promises us certain things? Right? He said, but now the Lord says, be it far from me. So God had said something that now he's unable to do because of what Eli is doing. Now, listen, I didn't write this. This isn't the Bible. And the Bible says the Old Testament is written for our example and our admonition. So you just can't throw it out. Well, that's not under grace, brother. Do you know God has always been the God of grace? He has always been grace. He didn't become grace. He has always been gracious and full of compassion. And the gracious, full of compassion, good to all, God said, I can't do it. He said, for those who honor me, I will honor. And look at this next statement. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. See, to despise is to dishonor. And notice what happens. It puts God in a position where he cannot honor us. Amen. There are people that get born again, live their whole life without receiving any of the other blessings of salvation. They end up going to heaven. They live, a good life, try to do their best. But yet, you know people as well as I do. They're born again, child of God. The same Savior who bore their sins also bore the stripes on his back that they might be healed. Yet they're sick their entire life. They don't ever see it. They don't ever honor God in that way. And so, people have made the mistake. Well, God just knows what I need. He'll get it to me. If you don't honor God, he can't honor you with it. I know these things are a little tough sometimes, but yet it's true. It's in the Word of God. Amen. Jesus talked about it. He talked about it. If you don't receive me, you don't receive the one who sent me. In his own hometown there, they didn't receive him. He said, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country. Everywhere else I go, I'm being honored. Amen. What God had promised, he could not do because of Eli's lack of honor. He said, I will honor them that honor me. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So we must guard against thinking of or treating the blessings of the Word of God in a light manner, taking it lightly. Oh, that's just okay, I don't know about that. No, let God be true. Everything else a lie. If it doesn't line up with God's Word. See, sometimes we make a mistake of doing this. We take our experience and give it greater weight than we do what God's Word says about it. See, I can't base my belief system on my experience or your experience. Now, it does help me to hear how God blessed you and how you walked with God and God brought you out and all that. Praise God. Amen. You know, I give the example on June 30th, 1980, when I got born again and Spirit-filled. After I had confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, Millie Carbonell walked up to me, and she was a layperson, never was a pastor or anything. She had grown up in the Catholic Church and gotten Spirit-filled. In fact, she got Spirit-filled and started walking around her house praying in tongues so much, her husband and kids, they were going to take her to the mental institution and put her in there because they thought she'd lost her mind. And her husband got Spirit-filled. Glory to God. And they were the song leaders at this little Bible study that I got born again at. They had people from every denomination in town, seemed like, were there in this little room. But she had a ministry of getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. She walked up to me and said, I'll hold your hand and you'll speak in tongues. Well, first of all, I'd never heard about anything about speaking in tongues. Nothing. I grew up in a denominational church. We didn't talk about that. And if it did, somebody probably said it was of the devil. I've just got born again. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I always had done it, but I never confessed him with my mouth. And I did that, and she walked up to me and said, I'll hold your hand, you'll speak in tongues. Well, she held my hands. I started speaking in tongues. Amen. But what if I made my experience doctrine? Everybody in the world, Millie has to hold hands with if you want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. See, thank God for our experience. But my experience that doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'm not holding on to. You see that? Amen. And so let's look here at Esau. We're going back to Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to read this from the Contemporary English Version first. Esau treated the blessing of his family position as being not important. He's the firstborn. Now we know his brother Jacob came out holding on to his heel, right? And God had said, because God knows everything, right? God had said, the older will serve the younger here, even though they're born minutes apart. But Esau was the firstborn. He had the birthright in that time. But let's look at something here. Genesis 25:29. This is the Contemporary English Version, says this. One day, Jacob, that's the younger brother, was cooking some stew when Esau came home hungry and said, I'm starving to death. Give me some of that red stew right now. That's how Esau got the name Edom. Edom means red. So this red stew. Jacob replied, "Sell me your rights as the firstborn son." "I'm about to die," Esau answered. "What good will those rights do me?" Now notice that statement. What's he valuing greater than his rights as the firstborn? A bowl of soup. Amen. Now my purpose here today is not to make us all feel bad. I'm going to start thinking about, oh God, I'm just so horrible. No. But I do want to help us to understand what it means to give something honor and to not treat it lightly, right? So look what happened here. But Jacob said, verse 33, "Promise me your birthrights here and now." And that's what Esau did. And Jacob gave Esau some bread and some of the bean stew. And when Esau had finished eating and drinking, he just got up and left, showing how little he thought of his rights as the firstborn. Do you see that? He thought little of it. He dishonored it. He despised it. In fact, the King James says he despised it. The Amplified Classic, verse 34, says this: "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and rose up and went his way." Now notice this. "Thus Esau scorned his birthright as beneath his notice." Glory to God. See, this table today, it's not something that we just go through ritualistically. It's not something we just do. Not something, and again, I'm not trying to make it some formal thing, you know, and, you know, we're talking about the attitude of our heart here, the attitude of our mind, our body. We're not talking about, you know, we all have to stand up or we all have to kneel down. No, that's nobody's business but yours. But what's the attitude of our heart with this? The King James Bible here, as I said, "Thus Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Now remember what God said, "Those who despise me will be what? Lightly esteemed." Now we know from Hebrews, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. We know from this that Esau was sorry that he'd sold his birthright when it came time to get his blessing. But it's too late. Look here at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Bible. Verse 16 says, "Be careful that no one among you lives immorally, becoming careless about God's blessings." Look at that. Becoming careless about God's blessings. Do you know how holy of a thing that it is that you can receive healing from God? That we can have our needs met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? That we have been made citizens of heaven, joint heirs with Jesus Christ? How holy of a thing that is? But yet here he says, don't be that way, that we are careless about God's blessings. Like Esau, who traded away his rights as the firstborn for a simple meal. And we know that later, when he wanted to inherit his father's blessings, he was turned away, even though he begged for it with bitter tears, for it was too late then to repent. I don't ever want to get in that situation. I don't ever want to know anybody that gets in that situation where it gets too late to repent. Amen. And here again, I'm not talking about beating yourself up. I'm not trying to beat this up at all. I'm just saying, let's examine ourselves. Because the Bible says we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. We're going to read that. So Esau wanted to get his father's blessing, but it was too late. Too late. Now let's finish this up with this. The Lord's table is a time of unity. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of hope. But let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. We're going to start in verse 17 this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. And let's see why Paul's dealing with them and with all of us. concerning this, and we'll start in verse 17 to get this idea. And the idea here is that Paul is actually responding to some questions that the Corinthians had. And this is one of them concerning the Lord's table, because there's some dispute. Now, he already started off the entire book with, I hear there's divisions among you, and you're carnal, because you're divided. One of you say, I'm of Paul. One of you say, I'm of, you know, Apollos. One of you say, I'm of Peter. And then there's those who say, well, I'm of the Lord. I don't follow any man, brother. That's if we'd say it today, right? But he said, you're wrong. You're all wrong because you're divided. But look what he says here. Regarding this next item, I'm not at all pleased. I'm getting the picture that when you meet together, it brings out your worst side instead of your best. First, I get the report of your divisiveness, competing with and criticizing each other. And I'm reluctant to believe it, but there it is. The best that can be said for that is that the testing process will bring truth into open and confirm it. Now listen, look at this now. And then I find out that you bring your divisions to worship. You come together, and instead of eating the Lord's Supper, which what we're, you know, and that was the Passover meal with them and this table, you bring in a lot of food from the outside and make pigs of yourselves. Some are left out and go home hungry. Others have to be carried out, too drunk to walk. I can't believe it. Now remember I said this is the church of excess? Well, if one sip from the cup of the cup of wine, let's just drink the whole barrel. And so they come together, instead of just coming together for the Lord's table and celebrating what was to them, and they knew of it as the Passover and then the Lord's table, they come together for a feast. We call it a potluck, covered dish, pot blessing. That's a statement of faith. I think potluck is more. How many of you grew up in that church? It was definitely potluck. What would we bring, honey? Where's that? I trust that. And then you remember those times? Why me go off this way, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm out there. I might as well jump right in with this. Do you remember those folks that never came to church except for those times? And always went home with a take-a-home sack. God bless them. So they come together for that. And there's, boy, as soon as the food gets there, they're eating. They're drinking. And there's some people that, of course, didn't get anything. That's what he said. Look what he says there. Verse 22. Don't you have your own homes to eat and drink in? Why would you stoop to desecrating God's church? See, they're not honoring it at all. Why would you actually shame God's poor? I never would have believed you would stoop to this. And I'm not going to stand by and say nothing. Verse 23. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." Verse 26. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact your words, in your words and actions, the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. Now, for those of you that have read the Message Bible, this is pretty straight for him, for this Mr. Peterson. This is really straight. You run the risk of serious consequences. Verse 30. That's why so many of you even now are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. Better be confronted by the Master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. Now, he's not saying with that you're going to hell. He's just talking about the trials and tribulations of life. that Jesus came that we might live above and be free from and overcome, I mean. So my friends, when you come together to the Lord's table, be reverent and courteous with one another. If you're so hungry that you can't wait to be served, go home and get a sandwich. But by no means risk turning this meal into an eating and drinking binge or a family squabble. It's a spiritual meal, a love feast. The other things you ask about, I'll respond to in person when I make my next visit. What we have in front of us today is a spiritual meal, a love feast from the lover of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, who sent Jesus. I think the other night, was it Pastor Bill quoted, "I owed a debt I could not pay." He paid a debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song, "Amazing Grace," the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. This is a representation of that today. This is a love feast. You're not going to get full on what we eat today, physically. You're not going to get that refreshed if you're thirsty from this little cup today. But it represents the real thirst that needs to be quenched. It represents the real hunger that needs to be filled. It is the body and the blood. Not doesn't actually become it, but it represents the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us not become so familiar with it that we think little of it or we treat it with contempt. Let's honor it for what it is. It is the gospel message, as Pastor Hagin says over and over again. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for all that Jesus has done. And Father, today I pray that if there be anyone in this room that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, does not know Jesus, that they would not leave this place today without coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's someone here today, Father God, that where we all could judge ourselves, Father, in these areas that we've talked about today, but yet there's someone here, they know they've actually walked away from fellowship with you, but they've come here today, and this is an opportunity for them to make a public declaration again of their faith in you. They want to rededicate their life to you. Father, I pray for them that they would find that place today. And Father, for those that are here today, that we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like it talks about in the book of Acts, that they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If there's anyone here today that wants to receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost with that evidence of speaking in tongues today, Father God, I pray they will not leave here without doing so. I want to give you that opportunity today. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus, you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to receive him today, if you're here today, you want to rededicate your life to him publicly, or you're here today and you want to you're born again, you know what it is to be a Christian, but you want to receive that endowment of power from on high, that baptism of the Holy Spirit that's available to all those who believe. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to know to pray for you. If you're here anywhere in the auditorium, the ushers are looking, raise your hand so I'll know to pray for you. Yeah, right here. We've got one hand. Anybody else? Just looking all across, upstairs, downstairs. Yes, thank you, Lord. You can put your hand down now. Thank you. Anyone else want to join? I see we've got this one. Hallelujah. Ma'am, I'm going to come right down here. Would you come right down here and meet me? Just be so bold. Hallelujah. If you wanted to come, as Pastor says, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on down here right now. I want to meet you right down there. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Anybody else wants to come, come now. Amen. And all to praise the Lord. Here comes some more. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Anybody else? I want to give everybody the opportunity to come. Ushers upstairs, wait. We good from upstairs. We're learning. We're good from up there, it looks like. Amen. Those of you that come here, look at me right now. What you need, I can't give you, comes from God. But right here we have three books, The New Birth, In Him, and why tongues. If I wanted to give those to you and held them out, what would you have to do? Reach out. There you go. All of you are going to get those in just a minute. Okay, everybody gets those. Amen. But that represents you've got to reach out and receive what God has for you today. I'm going to pray here with you, just lay in the name of Jesus, for you to receive everything you've come for. Then I'm going to ask you to go. Here's Heather right here. She's our prayer leader today. Go with her, and they'll take you back. And then also, we'll make sure that you have communion today, okay? You're going to leave here with what you want. Amen. Just raise one hand towards heaven. That's where help comes from. Father, I thank you for each one of these. Yes, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, for our dear sisters here that have come, in Jesus' name, that they receive every spiritual blessing, every physical blessing they might need today, met in Jesus' name. New birth, rededication, baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God.